This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
When Isa alayhi salam was sent to Banu Israel, and after he was taken up to Allah Azza wa Jal, many people changed the true teachings of Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary. And so Christianity was born after Isa alayhi salam, and it spread into different lands, and many sects, many groups also were formed. Christianity spread in that land with a ruler by the name of Abraha. Abraha was the new ruler there, and he also wanted people to become Christian. And Abraha, he knew of the Kaaba, and he wanted to build something of his own in Abyssinia. He wanted to build something like the Kaaba there, and he did. But it was a Christian version, all right? It was like the kufr version of the Kaaba, subhanAllah. And he built this big cathedral and he called it Al-Qulais, Al-Qulais. One day, an Arab, as we said, Islam wasn't in Arabia, it wasn't in Mecca yet. This was before the time of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad still wasn't born yet, but he was about to be born. A man from Mecca ended up going to Abyssinia, and he saw Al-Qulais. He saw this big cathedral, and he knew that they were trying to compete with the Kaaba. He didn't like that very much. So what does he do? He does something that it's even rude enough for me to, I can't even say it. Basically, he went to the toilet inside Al-Qulais, and not in the bathroom of Al-Qulais. He did it on the floor inside. Imagine someone went inside a masjid and did a number two right there in the middle. Astaghfirullah, right? How disgusting is that? Not only did he do that, he took his najasa and he wiped it. He took, you know, his filth and he wiped it all over the walls and he ran away. Oh, you want to compete with us? He's a gift, right? You know, not from the bottom of my heart, but from somewhere else, right? Here you go, right? He gave him a gift from the bottom of my soul. So he gave him that gift and he ran away, right? So of course, Abraha, when he came, he saw a new paint job, right? What's going on? He was fuming. He was crazy, all right? He went nuts after that. He goes, that is it. We're going to destroy the Kaaba. Now, he wanted to destroy the Kaaba from day one, but why didn't he? Because back then, they even had politics, right? It was against international law. You can't just go and destroy people's, you know, objects and landmarks of worship. They'll send armies towards you, right? They'll kill you for that. So he wanted to do it all along, but this was like, it just tipped him over, right? This was like the thing that he has an excuse. So if ASIO or ABF want to stop him, hey, what are you trying to do, mate? Okay. They did this to my version of the Kaaba. I'm going to destroy their version now. Okay, you can go through. Okay, all right. You're good to go, right? So he goes, that is it. We're going to destroy the Kaaba. SubhanAllah. So he gathers an army. And not just any army, an army of elephants. An army of elephants. This was unheard of before. Never been done before. They used to have army of soldiers, army of horses, army of camels, army of caravans, army of elephants. Abraha was the first to do this. And an elephant back then, you say, oh, big deal, elephant, right? No, it wasn't Dumbo, Habibi. It wasn't something that is friendly and does circus tricks. Those army elephants, they mean big business. You know, you anger an elephant. And by the way, elephants have an amazing memory. It's true. Elephants do have an amazing memory. So when someone says, yeah, that person has the memory of an elephant, that's a compliment. Okay, if someone says you've got the memory of an elephant, that's how you call an elephant, bro. No, don't take it as a mockery. They're not teasing you. They're actually complimenting you because elephants have outstanding memories. So elephants in war is like, that was like the ancient form of a tank. They have a tank today, can flatten a building, can flatten people. Well, that's what the elephant could do. So an army of elephants wasn't easy. This was a big thing. This was hard. So he comes with his army of elephants all the way from Yemen. Right, sorry, all the way from Abyssinia, brother. All the way from Abyssinia in Ethiopia, all the way coming to Mecca. Allahu Akbar. So it's a, it's a, It's a long journey, and it had it gave the Arabs in Mecca time to, this news came to them, and time to prepare. At the head of this army was a big elephant by the name of Mahmud, believe it or not. All right, believe it or not, had the name of Mahmud, subhanAllah. So Abraha's army actually made it to the outskirts of Mecca. Outskirts of Mecca. So if you've ever traveled outside of Sydney and you see all these mountains and the highways, and then you see a sign, you are now leaving Sydney, okay, go back to your local government area because you've broken the lockdown rule. Okay, if you see these signs, or when you're coming back, welcome to Sydney. So that's, they were on the outskirts, right? They're on the outskirts of Mecca. Are they about to come in? Who knows if they're vaccinated or not, right? Okay, bad joke. All those jokes are gone now, Mr. Bizu. I can relax. So they're going to enter. Are they going to check? All right, I'll stop. Are they going to QR code? Okay, I'll stop. I'll stop with the dad jokes. They're going to enter. And as they are entering, there were some shepherds grazing on the outskirts of Mecca. And they had some sheep there and camels and so forth. Abraha decides to take 200 of these camels. All right, we're going to demolish the Kaaba. Yalla, we might as well take the camels as well. Yalla, war booty. They're ours. They took 200 camels that belonged to Abdul Muttalib. Who's Abdul Muttalib, boys and girls? Bismillah. The grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abdul Muttalib. And his name wasn't really Abdul Muttalib. He actually earned that name as a nickname. Okay, Abd means slave, of Muttalib, because people thought he was the slave of Muttalib. Okay, his real name was Shayba, because when he was born, he had white hair. Shayba means old man. When he was born, he had white hair, subhanAllah. Amazing. But he was nicknamed Abdul Muttalib because he was always with Al-Muttalib and people thought he was his slave. So Abdul Muttalib was the grandfather of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So 200 of his camels were taken, and that's a big deal. You know, a camel is, you know, not a fun ride just, you know, to go on at the meat show. No, a camel is very expensive, and you can use a camel to ride, just like a car. Camels can give you milk, they can give you food, they can also be used for medicine, and they give birth. It's like manufacturing other cars. Okay, it's like a small convenience store, pharmacy, automobile, basically in one. It's all of that in one. So to have one camel was expensive enough, valuable, and he had 200 that were stolen. So he hears of this, and Abraha and his army, they stay at the outskirts, or they have come closer now, they've entered, and they're right on the, you know, on the mountains of where Mecca is, and they're about to descend, and they're resting there, and they're basically showing the Arabs of Mecca that we mean business here. And so Abdul Muttalib hears of them. He sees them. He organizes a meeting with Abraha. Abraha welcomed him. Ahlan. Come right in. So Abdul Muttalib goes to this meeting. You can imagine the guards are there. Okay. Who are you? I'm Abdul Muttalib. Oh, okay. Who's that? Oh, I've organized a meeting with your leader, Abraha. Abraha, did you organize a meeting with this guy, Abdul Muttalib? Yes, yes, bring him in. Okay, you're good to go, sir. He goes in. Abraha sees Abdul Muttalib. And he's shocked. He sees a man of dignity, honor. He had haiba. You know, some people you see and you're like, wow, look at that person. They look important. Abdul Muttalib was a man who had haiba about him. When he would enter a room, people would look at him with respect. Other people, when they walk in, what a ghaliz, what a smirk, what a clown. But Abdul Muttalib, when he would walk into a room, people would sit up. Just like sometimes when someone important enters, you sit up straight. Maybe you're slouching, maybe you're on your phone, right? And that's how you should be, by the way, boys and girls. When Mama or Baba come home, sit up. You know, you should sit up. Go greet them. You know, if you're on a device, put it down. If you're doing something, put it down. Okay, go to Mama or Baba, kiss their hand. They come home, kiss their hand. Assalamu alaikum, Mama. Assalamu alaikum, Baba. How are you? How's, you know, we missed you. This is the respect we should give to our parents. So Abraha sees Abd al-Muttalib and he immediately is filled with awe. Look at this man. So what does he do? Abraha was sitting like they had a temporary like throne. Everywhere they would go, they would take this throne with them and he would sit on it. And so he comes down off that throne and he sits on the floor with Abd al-Muttalib, subhanAllah. So he was asked, what are you doing? He said, this is a man who has respect and honor. He can't sit on the throne with me because I'm the king, but I need to respect him. So I'll come down and sit on his level, subhanAllah. So he asked Abd al-Muttalib, what do you want? Abd al-Muttalib says, your men, your cronies, your henchmen, $1,800 henchmen, these guys, they took my camels, or you took my camels, 200 of them, in fact, they belong to me, I want them back. That's my request. Abraha, he had to pick his jaw up from the ground. What? We're coming to destroy your Kaaba. We're coming to destroy your heritage. We're coming to destroy your religion. We're coming to destroy your people, your town, and all you ask me for are measly camels. He said, when you walked in, I held you up so high. I had so much respect for you. But now I lost all respect for you. He says, how could you ask for this? Abd al-Muttalib looked him dead in the eye and he said, I am the master of my camels. I need to take care of them. Allah is the master of his house, the Kaaba, he'll take care of it. SubhanAllah. This was Abd al-Muttalib. Even though he wasn't a Muslim, this was his answer, an answer of honor. An answer, subhanAllah, that unfortunately may, sometimes Muslims don't even think that way. So what could Abraha say to that? He's like, all right, yalla crony, yalla minion, give him his camels back. What can I say? All right, take your camels. We're going to destroy their Kaaba now. So he, Abd al-Muttalib, goes back out to his people. And the people, what happened? What happened? Tell us. He's like, we have to evacuate. Just tell us, what did you do? How did the meeting go? Did he give us a grant? What happened? You know, is he going to let us off? What's going on? Okay. He says, I asked for my camels and he's agreed to give them back. People, they looked at him like, what? He's coming to destroy our Kaaba and all he did was ask for camels. What kind of a leader are you? Right? One moment, he's Alamat al-Ard, the biggest sheikh, the biggest, the best of the best. And next minute, he's the lowest of the low. Like, get out of here. What have you done? He destroyed us. He goes, everyone evacuate. Let's all go to the mountains. Allah is the master of the Kaaba and Allah will protect it. So they go to the outskirts and they're looking on. What happens next? Abraha now is ready to attack. He gets his army, he gets the elephants, right? And you might be asking, how come Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed them to come all the way into Mecca? Couldn't Allah have destroyed them when they were in Abyssinia? Of course. Couldn't Allah have seized them with a thunderbolt or made the earth swallow them up or an earthquake or volcano or destroyed them in any other way? Of course. Why would Allah allow them to transgress? Why would Allah allow them to make their way to Mecca and not destroy them yet? Because sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla, number one, out of his mercy, gives a chance for even a disbeliever or a wrongdoer to come back to him. Allah gives you a chance. Sometimes a person does wrong, and they realize they've stuffed up. They make tawbah and they ask Allah to forgive them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, out of his rahmah, he gives you that chance. But also the opposite is true. Allah sometimes knows that a person is so evil, like Fir'aun, that he lets them go to do more harm, more haram. Why? So it's worse for them on the Day of Judgment. You see? It's like sometimes a teacher, I remember at school, a teacher, you know, sees a little bratty kid in the playground. He's slapping this kid, teasing that kid, pinching that kid, and the teacher's recording everything. Oh, okay. Keep going. And, you know, the kid's jumping around like the biggest ghaliz you've ever seen. And then the bell rings. Okay, he thinks he's off the hook. I got my fair share. of being a smik today. I'm good. I'm good to go. Yalla, time to muck up in Mr. Bizri's class, right? And the teacher coming, right? This is what you did. And then khalas, expelled or suspended, whatever the case is. The kid thinks he's getting away until he gets that report card slapped in his face at the end of the year. All of those marks, all of his detention, everything's mentioned, right? And he gets that report and doesn't even take it home. Is that embarrassed or is that afraid of what's going to happen? All right, and you can even imagine sometimes a dog on a leash. So if you give that dog 100-meter length of leash, 100 meters, as opposed to 1 meter. 1 meter does the smallest thing, can't do anything, right? Then you give that dog 100-meter leash. What's it going to do? It's going to run. And until it hits 100 meters, what's going to happen? It's going to rip out its neck. It's going to kill it instantly. And that's what happens to the likes of Fir'aun, to the likes of Iblis, to the likes of Dajjal, and sometimes even people. They think that, oh man, I'll do what I want. Does every sin under the sun so much haram until that leash runs out and it's khalas for that person, you see? So if Allah is allowing you to do haram now, maybe it's time to stop, reflect, and repent. Make tawbah now before it's too late. Before Allah Azza wa Jal destroys us completely and exposes us. May Allah protect us all. So the likes of Abraha, Allah allows them, right, to spend his money, to gather his resources, to get his army, to do the training, to get the weapons. Until what's going to happen? It's going to flop in his face. Just like what happened to the US. Just like America. They spent trillions of dollars in Afghanistan and in Iraq and in other countries. Trillions upon trillions in debt. They spent their money and their weapons and soldiers. So many people died of theirs. Why? For what? In the end, they lost. What a waste. You see, Allah allows. You say, but what about the Muslims who died? Jannah and Shuhada, inshallah. You see, that is khair for them too. So Allah Azza wa Jalla sometimes allows even an oppressor to get away. Why? Because in the end, there's humiliation. In the end, there's humiliation. Like what's happening now, we see. SubhanAllah, with some people and the government and what they're doing to the people, you know, the oppression that they're causing. And then what happens? People are, they're getting investigated for corruption and they get humiliated here, humiliated there, right? So, yes, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to lift oppression from us and we speak up when people oppress us and do the wrong thing. But remember that Allah Azza wa Jalla's plan is always the best for us, even if we don't understand it. So Abraha, he got his army, okay? Ready to fight, ready to send it to destroy the Kaaba. The people, they're on the mountains, they're looking on. What's going to happen? No popcorn for them, they're freaking out. They left their popcorn back at home. They're freaking out, what's going to happen? Abraha tells the big one, the big elephant, Mahmud, attack! What does it do? It sits down. Huh? Anticlimax, attack! Nothing. He takes it, what's wrong? Takes it left, it goes left. Takes it right, it goes right. Takes it backwards to Abyssinia, it goes backwards. Attack forward to the Kaaba, nothing. What's going on? SubhanAllah. It was mentioned, Allahu A'lam if this is correct or not, but one of the Arabs, before he fled to the mountains, he whispered in its ear, and he said, this is the house of Allah, don't destroy it. Hadha Baytullah. Don't destroy it. Now, when we say Baytullah, it doesn't mean Allah lives there, of course, right? Just when we say, you know, it's a way of honoring. We say, Narullah al-Muqada. It's the fire of Allah. Okay? So what it means, it's a way of honoring, like Kitabullah, Rasulullah. See? So when we say Baytullah, it doesn't mean Allah lives there, but it's an honored house. That's what it means. So it knew this is the house of Allah. I'm not going to attack, subhanAllah. I'm not going to attack. And that's why when the Prophet ﷺ entered Medina, when he was on an expedition and a journey, I believe, or one of the stories from the Seerah, don't quote me, but one of the camels would not move. And so they were trying to force it. And the Prophet said, Utrukha, leave it. Habasaha, habisul fil. The one who has kept this camel here is the same one who who kept the elephant there, meaning Allah. Allah has left, has restrained it, and he's the same Allah who restrained, of course, the elephant in this case, subhanAllah. So it wouldn't go. So what does he do? He's now going to send his army, okay, with Mahmud or not. Khalas, we're going to go. They enter the area where the Kaaba is to try and destroy it, but Allah sends an army of his own. They came with an army, Allah came with a better army. Even though the army, subhanAllah, was much smaller in size, but it's not about size. It's not about numbers. It's not about quantity. It's not about how big your weapons are, or how many weapons you have, or how much money you have. It's about having Allah Azza wa Jal as your wali, as your guardian, your protector. That's all that counts. Just do the right thing, and Allah Azza wa Jal will provide a way out from means that you didn't expect. Allah Azza wa Jal says, whoever has taqwa of Allah, يَرَزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will provide for you. If you have taqwa of Allah, you're always worried about what Allah thinks of you. You watch what you say, you watch what you do. Allah Azza wa Jal will provide a way out for you, even if you don't expect it, from means you don't expect it, subhanAllah. The Battle of the Trench, when the Muslims of 3,000 were up against 10,000 of the Kuffar, and negotiations failed, what happened? A man from the Kuffar, from them, he defected and became a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. Yani it's the worst time to become Muslim, right? The worst time. The Muslims are attacked. They're almost going to get defeated. They're almost going to be crushed. Yani they were scared so much, they couldn't even relieve themselves. They couldn't even answer the call of nature and go to the bathroom. That's how terrified they were. It didn't look like the best time to become Muslim, but he became Muslim. He says, I'm here to serve you, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet said, go to your people and try and infiltrate from within. And he did. He went and he convinced others from within and the side of the enemy. SubhanAllah, they didn't know he was a Muslim. They just thought he's one of us. So he went to the kuffar and he helped the Muslims, and they didn't even realize. Allah will send help. Allah will provide a way out as long as we have taqwa. That is the key to our success, taqwa. So Allah Azza wa Jal sends an army of his own. What was this army? An army of birds. Birds. Out of all animals. Imagine I told you, we're going to fight these people and you can have any army you want. Choose an animal. You'll choose a panther, or the black panther. You will choose maybe, spiders, redbacks. You'll choose scorpions. You might choose snakes, lions, tigers, right? I'll choose birds, please. Birds. Birds are so friendly. I keep them as pets. And the biggest bird you're going to find is Big Bird from Sesame Street. And even that bird is friendly. Oh, yeah, birds. But subhanAllah is trying to show us that they came with this big creature. Allah came with a small creature. And why birds? Because kama tadinu tudanu. You get what you deserve. You are dealt with how you deal with others. They came with the creature. They came with an animal. Allah came with an animal. You see that? Allah could have destroyed them with thunderbolt. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Allah says, did you not see how Allah dealt with the people of the elephant, أصحاب الْفِيلِ? Notice Allah didn't say another word for the companions of the elephant. Allah called them companions of the elephant. Allah didn't say masters of the elephant. Allah didn't say controllers of the elephant. Allah didn't even say army of the elephant, right? Allah said the companions of the elephant, because Allah is in control, you see? Allah didn't say masters or controllers of the elephants. Allah is in control. Ashab al-fil. Allah said, did you see how? Notice Allah didn't say what. I said how. There's a difference. If I said, what did you make? If I made pasta, one word answer. How did you make it? Now details. How? I boiled some water, put it in the pot, got a bit of butter, olive oil, put the pasta in, the sauce, the vegetta, herbs, crushed tomatoes, and Bilal's your uncle, right? How? When you say how gives you details. So Allah is going to give us details now in Surah Al-Fil. أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلِ. Didn't Allah transform? يَجْعَلْ is to transform something. Take it from one state and change it to something else completely. Say, جعلت التفاحة عصيرا. I made the apple into juice, transformed completely, right? ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل. Didn't he take their plot, their plan that they had, and made it تضليل from ضال, completely gone astray, all right? You know what a ضالين, those people have lost the plot. They don't know what they're doing. They think they're worshipping Allah, but they're not. They're worshipping a person. He made their plot go astray. NoID.com. في تضليل. SubhanAllah. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. Allah sent upon them, not to them. Allah didn't say وَأَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ. On them. Right? Upon them, SubhanAllah. You know, like, SubhanAllah, when people send those bomber jets upon, okay? No one comes to you and say, here you go, here's your explosive missile device. Open it tonight and it'll explode. No, someone wants to attack, they launch it from above. Allah said, أَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ SubhanAllah. You see, Allah sent upon them, SubhanAllah, طَيْرًا أَبَابِيل. Birds, طَيْرًا, birds from طُيُور, أَبَابِيل. أَبَابِيل. And it was mentioned in singular, طَيْرًا, because it was a specific type of bird. It was a bird, as Ibn Abbas said, these were black birds from the sea. Black birds that came from the direction of the sea. These were fighter birds. These were predatory type birds, subhanAllah. Why the sea? And Dr. Awaid Al-Atawi, he said that Surah Al-Fil teaches us modern day warfare. You know, Call of Duty? Well, if you want to learn about Call of Duty and modern day warfare, Surah Al-Fil will teach you. He said, fighter jets, even till today, what do? They put them on ships in the ocean. Why? Because it's easier, number one, to attack from the ocean. People can't attack out on sea. You can't send an army out to sea unless you send a ship. And it's also easy to refuel. Because if the ship is coming from another country, or the plane's coming from another country, all the way there, it's hard to go back and forth, right? But it's easy to refuel. Allahu Akbar. So even in the Quran, Allah is teaching us modern day aspects of war. طَيْرًا أَبَابِيل. They came in multitudes. And I'm going to show you a video of how this actually looks like. Bear with me.
Here, they have become a super
swarm. These are starlings. Year on year. And subhanAllah, you can imagine this coming towards Ashabul Fil.
Starlings flock together to create the most astonishing aerial display in nature.
But the whole sky was filled with this. طَيْرًا أَبَابِيل, in flocks, flocks. See those people staring? You can imagine the people staring in shock as they saw this.
In reality, the birds react 13 times faster than any person. They turn in exact synchrony with their nearest neighbors, but the tiniest delay in their reflexes help create these mesmeric waves in the sky. Until recently, the spectacle could only be seen.
Those are called starlings. So if you ever want to look at those birds in detail, you can just type in starlings and your parents can show you. But you can imagine the whole sky was filled with these birds and they came in flocks. And what did they do? تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحَجَارَةٍ مِّن سَجِّيلٍ. They would throw at them, launch at them. تَرْمِيهِمْ. رَمَى in Arabic means to throw. But Rama in Arabic also means, in archery, it's called a rimaya. Okay? Rama in Arabic is also used for archery. And so when you think archery, what do you think? You think a target, right? A target. So every man from the army of Abraha had like, you know, a target on his head. So each bird, subhanAllah, came targeting each individual like a homing missile device. They couldn't run away. Each bird was dedicated. This bird gets that person. This bird gets that person, subhanAllah. Bihijara min sijil. These were stones that were actually, they came from Jahannam itself. Jahannam itself. Allahu Akbar. And Ibn Abbas said, when it would hit that disbeliever from the army of Abraha, it would actually penetrate the skull and come out through their back. It'll go right through them. Why? Because in, as we said, archery, when you think of archery, you're not shooting at a close range. True, you're shooting at a distance. The target's far away. And so if it's high up, acceleration due to speed, it'll come so fast, faster than a bullet. Because even bullets get stuck in a person sometimes. They get lodged when a person is shot with a bullet, right? But this went so, it was so powerful, went right through them. Tarmihim bihijaratin min sijil, subhanAllah. Faja'alahum, Allah transformed them. Remember we said ja'ala in Arabic means to transform completely. Faja'alahum, he made them, not the elephants. Allah said, ashabul fil, the companions of the elephant. Allah didn't destroy the elephants. Haram, what did the poor elephants have to do? The animals. Allah destroyed the people of the elephant. Faja'alahum ka'asfim ma'kul. Allah made them like eaten up vegetation. Like they were ma'kul, they were eaten. You know, an animal, what does it do? It eats the vegetation, it eats the plants, it eats the straw, whatever it is. And then it chews it, it swallows it, its stomach digests it, and then it comes out the other end. When it comes out the other end, that's what they look like. Disgusting. That's what they look like. They looked like they were eaten up and digested and excreted from animals. Allahu Akbar. That's what they looked like. And the animals, the elephants were going crazy because they were scared. They were terrified from all these birds. So they were trampling all over and they were killing also Ashab al-Fil. Allahu Akbar. You see, they're not the masters of the elephant because they couldn't control the elephants. If they're masters, they'll control them. The elephants, the irony, subhanAllah. They thought the elephants would be used to help them and they didn't. They destroyed them. They thought they can use the elephant to destroy the Kaaba, and the elephants destroyed them instead. Allahu Akbar. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. How powerful is Allah? How powerful and amazing is Allah? And you must say, Mr. Bidri, far out. That's a lot of detail. Remember how the surah started? Allah said, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ. كَيْف. Remember, كَيْف means how. And when you say how, asking for details. Allah gave you so much details. Allah didn't say, أَلَمْ تَرَ. Do you not see? مَا فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ. What did Allah do? What did Allah do? Allah destroyed them. There, end of the surah. Allah didn't say what. Allah asked how. And how gives you detail, subhanAllah. Amazing. What an amazing surah. Next time you read this surah, you can read it with understanding. It can have a different effect on you. You can read it with khushu' now in your salah. And that's why, boys and girls, it's very important. If you're praying and you're not concentrating, you're praying and all you can think of is what you're going to watch on Netflix next and what game you're going to play and that funny joke Mr. Bizri said, or what am I going to have for dessert? Well, maybe it's because we're not understanding what we're reciting. So understanding the surah and the meanings would help us in our salah. So inshallah, you have a better understanding now of Surah Al-Fil. And last question, why would Allah protect the Arabs when they're mushrikeen, they're kuffar, they weren't even Muslims yet? Why would Allah protect them? Allah wasn't protecting them. Allah was protecting the Kaaba, his house. There's a difference. But Allah is so just that if a people are non-Muslim and they are going to be oppressed, Allah does not accept that. Allah does not accept oppressing even non-Muslims. Not just because he's a non-Muslim, I can steal from him, I can hurt him. No. Allah Azza wa Jal will allow a nation to prosper, to flourish, to do well, if it is just, if it's fair, even if it's a disbelieving nation, as Ibn Taymiyyah, the great scholar, said. So we should be fair. We should be fair as Muslims. We were fair to Muslims and non-Muslims. Being fair, having this quality of al-adl and justice is a quality of Islam. It's a quality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abraha's army were destroyed. Abraha was no more. And this year that occurred, the year of the elephant, was the exact year that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. Allahu Akbar. It's as if Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving this as a warning to the world. Don't you dare mess with the messenger. Don't you dare mess with Mecca. They were destroyed in the year of the elephant, it was called, because back then they didn't have the numbers that we use today, 2020, 2021. They would identify years based on major events. Something big happened. Oh, that's the year of the elephant. Imagine an elephant ran through your house. Whoa, right? Man, I'll never forget that year. That's the year the elephant ran through my house. So that was the year Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And it was an amazing year. The barakah of Rasulullah. And little did humanity realize that the greatest man, the greatest messenger, the greatest human to ever walk the planet was to come with prophethood, to come with the final revelation. And inshallah, in the future, we can take more of these amazing stories. I hope you enjoyed Story Night, Story of Ashab al-Fil. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.